Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, welcome to Friday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And it's just a delight to have you with us, and I'm glad that you're with us because both Sam and Dave are on assignment. I'm not necessarily going to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, what their assignment is. We will let them speak for themselves next week when they are back, but I'll just say that they are on assignment, and that means that it's you and it's me. But also in the studio today, we have a friend of mine by the name of Jeremy Lundmark, Pastor Jeremy Lundmark. He was in the studio yesterday as we did the program. But Jeremy, today you are going to take the place of Sam and Dave.
Yeah, I don't know if I can fill all four of those shoes.
You're sharp. You caught
maybe,
that.
Maybe half of one.
Half of one of those four.
One of those 4 feet.
Don't get involved with mathematics.
I won't.
That's not my
strength.
Neither
of us are good at that.
No, I'm not. I don't know about you, but I'm not. But anyway, Jeremy is with us, and so we are thankful for the pleasure of your company, and we have a lot to talk about today. Before we delve into the news of the day, I do want to remind you all that next Wednesday is Veterans Day. And certainly I would encourage you to honor every veteran you know and every veteran you don't know. And here where I pastor in Altoona, Pennsylvania, we always participate in the Veterans Day Parade. And it's always a great opportunity to stand up for the veterans and to encourage them. But the reason why I'm bringing that up here is because this coming Sunday would be a good time for churches and pastors to honor the veterans that are in your particular congregation. Once again, we do that every year at the church that I pastor. In fact, this year, Jeremy, I'm going to put together a proclamation of honoring the veterans.
That's good. That's good.
And we have flags for every one of the branches of the military. The veterans will be carrying them in and posting them. And okay. It's just going to be a great time. But pastors, I would just encourage you to consider honoring your veterans. I'm sure that many of you do that, and I'm sure that every veteran who is in every church that does that is thankful. But if you don't do it, I would encourage you to consider doing it this coming Sunday.
I don't think we can do enough for our veterans, and I always like to remind the church that I was pastoring that Christ died for us that we might be free, and the closest we come to that in this life in the United States of America are our veterans. And we need to do – our country fails them a lot of times, and we need to step up as the church and support them.
We do, and there's a song. I can't remember the name of the song, and I'm not going to try to sing it. But, you know, I've heard it sung. In fact, we've had it sung here in our church. And that is that, you know, who has brought this nation together? You know, and they mentioned it's not this preacher. I think they used Jerry Falwell's name and maybe Billy Graham's name and whatever, whatever. But they emphasize it's the veteran.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the veteran. It's the person in the Army, the Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, whatever. Those are the folks who have either fought for or have been willing to fight for our freedoms. Without them, we wouldn't be doing this program
yeah,
today.
Yeah, exactly. We wouldn't be sitting here doing this, broadcasting in a free nation to the world the message of Christ. So, it's a cool thing.
So you know, we're very, very thankful for the veterans, and I agree with you 100%, Jeremy, that we don't give them the due that really is their worth. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, a lot going on in the world today. I want to just to talk a moment here at the very beginning about the upcoming GOP debate that is going to be on Fox Business Network. That will be this coming Tuesday, that is November the 10th at 9 o'clock in the evening Eastern Time. The Fox Business News and the Wall Street Journal will be putting on this particular debate. And they've already named those who will be on both debates. There is a varsity and a junior varsity.
Yeah, and some key people got bumped down, I noticed, but I'll let you read that.
They did. On the varsity team will be Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, Carly Fiorina, John Kasich, and Rand Paul. I'm amazed that Rand Paul's still hanging in there.
He's got a great ground game. That's what I think is keeping him in there, and he's still moving forward. But I was surprised to see that, too. I'm glad they cut it to 8. I think there's too many candidates. I think 10 is too many. I even felt like 7 was too many when I watched the earlier debates in the past. This will at least clear out some of the field, but I disappointed to see Mike Huckabee out of it. But at the same time, he does have a lot of similar views to Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, so I can understand that. Chris Christie, I don't agree with a lot of his policies, but I do like hearing what he has to say. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys handle being knocked down a notch, especially Chris Christie.
Yeah, Chris Christie's knocked down. Mike Huckabee's knocked down. Of course, Bobby Jindal and Rick Santorum will be involved with the JV debate. And I would encourage each and every one of you to watch it. You know, Jeremy, we need to know where these people stand. And sometimes I wonder if the campaign is too long. I've often wondered if we have too many debates out there. And, you know, there's both sides to that issue. But I'll tell you what, the Lord has given us the opportunity to get to know who these candidates are through all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have a much broader sense of who we have available to us this time around. I've only been participant in maybe 4 or 5 elections where I was paying much attention. And this is the broadest amount of information we've received. Usually you get down to 2 or 3, and that's when the debates start, and that's when the publicity starts. To have America involved and engaged at this level is a good thing. We just need to make sure that Christians are paying attention to what these people are saying and not just rooting for their team.
Well, that's right, paying good attention to what they are saying. And by the way, if you would like to participate in the program today, please do. The number you can call is toll-free, 1-877-667-1180, or locally in the Philadelphia area, it would be 610-539-8255. That's 1-877-667-1180, toll-free, or locally in the Philadelphia area, 610-539-8255. We would love to be able to have your input on anything that we're talking about on the program today. You know, Jeremy, it's interesting in talking about the election that's coming up. USA Today, said that there are 5 big questions that could shape the 2016 election. The first one is, does the FBI ensnare Clinton? You know, she...
That is a big question.
Well, it is a big question. And, you know, she sort of got through this what do you want to call it, circus?
Yeah, circus is a good term for it.
You know, when she was before the House committee. But the FBI is conducting an investigation through their counterintelligence division. And that could create some trouble for her.
Yeah, they need to. They really need to look into that and position themselves well, because I think she got herself in trouble in the last debate when she kind of threw Edward Snowden under the bus. I think that she basically said he did what was wrong, and she did the same thing.
She's a Clinton.
Well, that's true.
She's a Clinton. I mean, you know, no matter what is wrong, she still tries to do it and does do it
that's
and gets
right.
away with it.
Yep.
We'll continue to share with you these big 5 questions that could shape the 2016 election. Then we want to talk about a book that Jeremy wrote. But we would love to hear from you. If you want to call in, please do so. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after these messages, so stay tuned.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Did you know both basketball and volleyball were invented by instructors at the YMCA? The YMCA, or Young Men's Christian Association, was founded in 1844 by George Williams and has grown to a membership of over 4 million in 76 countries. Founder George Williams, who died this day, November 6, 1905, wrote, "My lifelong experience as a businessman and a worker among young men has taught me that the only power that can effectually keep one from evil is that which comes from an intimate knowledge of the Lord. And the safe guidebook by which one may be led to Christ is the Bible."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did, and we were all so proud.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop the national takeover of education called Common Core. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Gary Dahl, and of course, Sam and Dave are on assignment today, but I have with me in the studio today Pastor Jeremy Lundmark, and we're talking about the GOP debates and the election and everything that is out there. And if you would like to participate, please don't hesitate to give us a call. Toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180. Or locally in the Philadelphia area, it is 610-539-8255. Before we went into the break, Jeremy, we were talking about five big questions that could shape the 2016 election that USA Today has put in their paper. We talked about the first one, does the FBI ensnare Clinton? And I think she's going to run into some trouble with that.
Yeah, they could get her on that.
Yeah, they really could. The second one is, can Trump go the distance? You know, that's been something that that the people have been talking about since before the cows left.
Yeah, he's gone the distance so far. He's the front runner, and as people are dropping out, Ben Carson's come the closest so far to get him. And in elections past, you've seen people come up to the front runner and go down, but the front runner usually stays the front runner. So I think as we get closer to the elections themselves, that will start to bear itself out. He seems incapable of messing up in debate because whatever he says, he stands behind, no matter how crazy
good or bad
it is.
Or crazy or nuts it seems.
Yeah, people love it. People love it. So he seems like he's got the staying power. He's got the money. So that's not going to be the issue.
He is starting to put in some money now for advertisement for radio and television up in New Hampshire, I think, and maybe out in Iowa, I'm not sure. But this is the first money that he has put into the campaign.
Which says a lot. Which says a lot because he's gone – it was a costly couple of months here, so for a lot of the other guys.
At the end of last week and maybe the beginning of this week, you know, Ben Carson was up on top. But Ben is back down a little
leveling.
Bit. And.
Yeah.
And Trump is up. And many of the pundits said he would never go the whole distance.
Yeah, yeah.
You think he will?
I think he will be around. I think once you get to Iowa, you're going to start seeing where the actual votes are at. And I think that's where this election is going to be a little bit different. I told you in the break that I've been following Rand Paul a lot. And Rand Paul's ground game is trying to do something that other candidates haven't done before. His dad did do it before, came close to knocking Romney off in the early stages. If some of these other guys like Rubio, Cruz, Paul can get Iowa, New Hampshire early on, that could dramatically change things. But I think right now it's a media game and Donald Trump owns it. So,
the third question that the USA Today puts out today is, does the economy implode?
That's a good question.
Here's what they say. Though it hasn't felt much like a recovery for the middle class Americans, the economy has been growing for the past 6 years. Unemployment was down to 5.1% in August and September, the lowest in 7 years. Some economists see worrying signs that a soft pitch in the economy might turn into another recession. As a matter of fact, it was somebody from, let's see, who was it that made this statement? Somebody said, I'm trying to find out who it is here, but it says that the dangers facing the global economy are more severe than at any time since Lehman Brothers bankruptcy in 2008. That was former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers who made that statement in the Washington Post last month.
Just to parallel that, I just got – this is not news per se. It would be locally to my parents' hometown, but Cummins Engine in Jamestown just laid off 2,000 employees. So the last time that happened was 2008, and I was actually laid off then. And so there's a lot of parallels. It talks about the middle class. That's a very real possibility. I know a lot of people have said 2016 is kind of a marker and for a lot of things, the economy being one of them.
The fourth question they ask is, does Syria explode? I mean, you know, when you take into consideration with what's going on over there, that civil war has been going on for a long, long time. And as we know, you know, the United States is involved with that. Russia is involved with that. And, you know, we're talking about this airliner that was shot down. That's tied into that. What do you think?
That's a really big question. And I think as things heat up with Russia and Syria and ISIS, I think the questions and the focus in these debates are going to come up a little bit differently. Our focus has been on the economy up to this point. And how will these presidents, potential presidents, step into a White House where Russia is moving into Ukraine or maybe have done even more than that? What are they going to be able to do? That's going to change your perception of who you're going to vote for sure.
The fifth question, is there a third party candidate?
Well,
you know, if the Republican Party does not stand behind Donald Trump and if the Democratic Party does not stand behind Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Could either one of them go into a third party?
I think Bernie could. I don't know that he would. I think the last debate showed his commitment to Hillary Clinton, even though he tried to hide it. It wasn't very good. I don't know
his commitment to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, they're shaking hands and high-fiving each other over the emails. And I think at the end of the day, I don't know what the relationship is there, but it's not. Would Donald Trump go? I don't know. I think he's got the braggadocious to do it. But he did say after that first debate, he did come around and say, okay, I won't do it. But I don't know. I don't know. He seems like the type of person who would do it. So,
what kind of a president would Donald Trump give the United States of America?
That is an interesting question. I try to be positive about that. whenever you're comparing to Democrats, you're looking at the best of what you have. I think Donald Trump could bring some positives to the economy. Beyond that, the rest of it worries me. Whether he could get all the things done that he wants to get done the way he would do it, what would that look like in the world? It concerns me.
Well, you know, he's there.
He is.
He's a contender.
Yes.
To the surprise of many, many people. Now, getting back to these debates, when we were in the break, you were talking about them, Jeremy. Maybe you can share with our people a little bit of the conversation we had. It's amazing who are in the debate cycle and where they are. It's interesting to note that this particular upcoming debate is going to there's going to be a number of changes, actually. It's going to focus on jobs, taxes, and the economy mainly. So, you know, that should bring a bit of a different approach to the debates than what we've seen so far.
Yeah, it should. And we were talking about those who made it and those who didn't. I am surprised that John Kasich is still on the main platform. We mentioned Rand Paul, who's been at the very bottom. There definitely is some flexibility. I think there's debates just about every month leading up to the primary. So I suspect we may see a Huckabee and a Christie jump back up in. It's a very fluid race. We were talking about that. But I'm surprised John Kasich, he looked very nervous in the last debate. He looked like he was in desperation. Other than that, I think you're going to get a lot of the same stuff from the Tea Party guys. And it'll be interesting to see if Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina continue their sparring on their business acumen.
You are a millennial.
I guess so.
You are.
I am, yes.
Whether you want to admit it or not.
Right.
You are.
I am.
I'm going to mention these names.
Mm-hmm.
And you say conservative, liberal, or moderate.
Okay.
As a millennial.
Okay.
As a Christian millennial.
Sure.
As a Christian pastor millennial.
Yes.
As an author millennial.
Yeah, author.
As a podcaster millennial.
Podcaster millennial.
By the way, talk about your podcast.
Oh, yeah. If you are interested in some of the past debates, I don't know if I'll do a full rundown of this upcoming debate, but I have done full episodes on afterthesermon.com. If you're an iTunes user or podcast type person, you'll know how to search for a podcast. Just type in After the Sermon. I have various episodes after each debate. I did a rundown of each of those debates of all the candidates, even the Democratic one, which was a hard one to watch. But it was good to go through it and say, look, this is what you get from the other side. So you can check that out afterthesermon.com.
All right. Here's the assignment.
Go for it.
Liberal, conservative, moderate. Donald Trump.
I think.
Quickly. What comes to your mind?
Liberal posing as a conservative.
Ben Carson.
Moderate.
Marco Rubio.
Conservative.
Ted Cruz.
Conservative.
Jeb Bush.
Moderate.
Hillary Clinton.
Liberal. It's way off the social.
Socialist. Yeah, that's what he claims to be, a Democratic socialist.
She was happy. Both her and Bernie were happy to own that in the last debate. So.
Yeah. So anyway, Carly.
Carly Fiorina, moderate.
John Kasich.
I have no idea. Like I said, I have no idea where he stands on stuff. I still, even after the first two debates, I'm not following how he's still in there. So.
Rand Paul?
Conservative.
Chris Christie?
Moderate, although some would say he's a liberal.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of people who don't like him who want to push him a little further than he maybe really is.
Mike Huckabee?
Conservative.
Bobby Jindal?
I have no idea about Bobby Jindal.
Rick Santorum?
Conservative.
Rick might be too conservative.
Yeah.
For the electorate.
Yes.
And for the Republican establishment, which is, I think, one of the reasons why he's having a hard time getting a ground hold.
Yeah, I think him and Mike Huckabee are down there because if this election was 4 or 8 years ago, they'd be the guy, but now you've got a different electorate altogether.
Yeah. Well, very good insight from a millennial.
I hope it's good insight.
Well, I'll say It's insight. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. It'll be about a 3-minute break, but then we will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today for this Friday. And so wherever you are, we encourage you to stay tuned. Maybe you want to go get a cup of coffee or a glass of water or whatever, but we'll be back in 3 minutes. So don't you dare go away. This is Stand in the Gap from the American Pastors Network.
K Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama is rejecting construction of the Keystone XL oil pipeline from Canada, announcing his decision after meeting with Secretary of State John Kerry.
This morning, Secretary Kerry informed me that after extensive public outreach and consultation with other cabinet agencies, the State Department has decided that the Keystone XL pipeline would not serve the national interests of the United States. I agree with that decision.
He says the pipeline would not make any meaningful impact on the economy.
The United States will continue to rely on oil and gas as we transition, as we must transition, to a clean energy economy. That transition will take some time.
Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio, Republicans, responding they would support the pipeline if elected president. This is a Fox News alert.
WFYN. Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Last Friday, Pennsylvania Family Institute held its annual Friends of the Family Banquet, and we were joined by more than 900 pro-family friends and supporters from throughout Pennsylvania. The theme for the evening was our Wilberforce moment, and keynote speaker Eric Metaxas has eloquently written and spoken about the parallels between our time with the exposés on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry and William Wilberforce's successful efforts to end the slave trade by exposing the British public to its horrors. Plus, we heard an uplifting testimony from Kelvin Cochran, the Atlanta fire chief who was fired for his faith. He told us how we can stand firm with joy and confidence in God. Thanks to all who joined us, and if you didn't, well, maybe we'll see you next year. I'm Michael Gear of the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Visit our website at pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And Sam and Dave are on assignment, a very interesting assignment, by the way, that it'll be up to them to share with you folks what that assignment is when they come back. But in studio today, I have a friend of mine, Pastor Jeremy Lundmark, who is an author, a podcaster. And when I say he's an author, he's written a book entitled The Fury of God. And I happen to have the opportunity to pre-read the script and was impressed with it, still am impressed with it. It's been interesting, Jeremy, when I have given this to pastors, that pastors have said they've never seen a book quite like it. It's the kind of a book that probably the feel-gooders are not going to be wanting to read today.
Right, right.
But it's the kind of a book that people need to read today. And of course, I like the caption that you have right on the front cover, where you say we cannot truly understand God's love until we fully understand his fury. So just to get this discussion started right off, what's the main theme of this book?
The main theme of the book is basically how God reacts in anger in the scriptures. And the reason I put that little emphasis on the love of God in the tagline is because I know in our culture today, and this is really the premise of the book, we have overemphasized God's love to the point where even going down this road can put you on a sort of unspoken blacklist. And so what I've tried to do in the book is come at these very difficult questions that the scriptures have and that unbelievers have about the scriptures in regards to Noah flooding the earth and the plagues of Egypt. How is that loving? How is that gracious? How does that align with the loving God that we talk about? And I find a lot of Christians can't answer those questions. And so what I've tried to do is at least demonstrate for people, particularly believers, but also unbelievers as well, that the Bible's consistent. When it says God is loving and we see these events in the Bible, that doesn't diminish his love. When you properly understand who God is and who Jesus Christ is, what that's intended to do is to magnify our sin so we understand how awesome the cross is. And I think there's way too many Christians who, when an atheist says to them, well, why would God strike down the firstborn in Egypt, or why would God flood the earth? They clam up and, oh, that was the Old Testament. And there's so many theological problems with that that I felt that a book was necessary. It took me a couple years to even start writing the book. I preached the series in 2008, started writing in 2013 because none of the guys that I would have expected to write on this subject were writing on it. And I thought, well, if no one else is going to, I will. So
it's a well-written book. And lest I forget it, in fact, we could probably mention this a couple of times. How can people get the book?
There's a lot of ways to get it. Probably the normal means that you would use, you can get it, Amazon.com. If you're a Kindle or Nook user, I think it's like $4 right now, $3.99. It may be cheaper than that. I know the price has been going down. I don't know how they do that. I think Westbow Press hands it to them. But you can get it right from WestbowPress.com as well. If you search for The Fury of God, make sure you search for The Fury of God. There are some fictional titles by Fury of God and things like that. Or if you type in my name, it'll pop up. But if you're a Kindle user, if you're an e-user, it'll show up in your stores, Google Play and all that. So also, if you have a Christian bookstore that you frequent, your Christian bookstore should be able to look it up.
And the name is Lundmark, Jeremy J. Lundmark, L-U-N-D-M-A-R-K. Let's get back to the book itself. You know, I remember years ago talking to an older pastor. In fact, he was one that wasn't necessarily my mentor, but one that I looked up to. And this is 40-plus years ago. I remember him making the statement that according to the record of Scripture, God has killed more people than he's ever saved.
Yes.
And I remember him making that particular statement in the – it was a missions conference and missionaries all around in that room. And I could remember hearing, know. But, you know, that's true. When you read the scripture, God has killed more than he has saved. And that's an interesting concept as it relates to the fury of God.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that shouldn't be a shock to people because we know that Jesus Christ said – wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. So it shouldn't be a surprise, but when we say that, it shocks us because we've had embedded into us this idea that God is love, 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 and he never does anything that we would consider negative. That's just not the case when you read the scriptures. I even go even further in the book. This will get me in trouble maybe, but I argue that if you read –
That's okay. We are in trouble all the time.
You're
on
good
this
at that,
program.
Huh? I argue if you do the math – based on today's numbers in the world, and you figure out what Jesus is going to orchestrate in the book of Revelation in terms of one-third of humanity dying, and you do the numbers on that, you're going to be shocked. I do the math in the book, and I argue that Jesus, if you account for Revelation, may have killed by numbers more people than you can account for in the Old Testament. And that's one of the things I try to do in the book is to show God and Jesus aren't different. It's not like God's the angry guy in the Old Testament and Jesus is the loving guy, and so now we're in the New Testament. Jesus Christ and God the Father are one and the same. They have one singular purpose. That's redemption of souls as a result of his holiness. And that's what all this destruction is all about. It's because we're the problem. But when atheists and unbelievers look at it, they're like, oh, God is so terrible. What the Bible's trying to show us is that we're the ones who are terrible, taking advantage of all that he's given us. And so,
why is it so significant that the fury of God be understood by all Christians? I mean, as Christians, you know, we're on our way to heaven.
Yeah,
Why is it significant that we understand the fury of God?
I think we need to understand it for two reasons. And actually, one of the questions we were going to talk about, and it comes up here, is what's the biggest controversy over the book that I found is that there's a lot of pastors and Christians who don't like this book because I argue in the book that God can get angry with Christians. Now, the reason for that is a good reason. In the cross, the wrath of God is satisfied for us. However, there's also this relationship that we have as believers in Christ to our Heavenly Father. We all have earthly fathers, and I'm a father, you're a father, we got angry with our children. It's not the same kind of anger as we might say for an unbeliever, but it's still there. I always tell people to go to Hebrews 12 and to read that. And this idea that when I sin, because I'm saved, it's no big deal to God, we have got to eradicate that in our hearts and minds because, yes, we are saved by the cross, but that doesn't save us to license. The Apostle Paul said, may it never be that be the case, that we understand the cross to be a license to sin. And I think we're headed in that direction. There's other things we're going to talk about here. You see the church embracing homosexuality, trying to love on those who commit abortions. If you do any research on people who are having abortions, there's a lot of Christians who are taking their children to have abortions because God will forgive them. That attitude has to end. And we have to understand that there are consequences for believers, that God's still angry with our sin when we're acting on it. It may be – it's not punitive. It's more disciplinary to try to get us to be more holy. But we do need to understand that God does still care how we live and act in this world.
Now, this ties into what we're talking about, but what have you included in the book that the average person in the pew does not think of or does not want to think of today, Jeremy?
I would say there's two major things. The first I've already mentioned a little bit, and that's the anger of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I dedicate two chapters to that because there's a very common thing in the church that this idea that God in the Old Testament is angry and Jesus in the New Testament is loving and gracious. And this leads into the second one, and that is we have to be aligning our understanding of who Jesus Christ is with who God the Father is. And I think we have a poor – I get a little theological here, but I think we have a really bad understanding of the hypostatic union, how Jesus Christ relates to the Father and his humanity and his deity. We don't have to get super theological. This book is not super theological. You've read it.
Right.
But we do have to ask simple questions like, should Jesus Christ be any different than the Father? Mm-hmm. We know they're not. They are one in the same. And when we say something like, well, God is mean and angry in the Old Testament and Jesus comes to fix that, we're putting them at odds with one another. And that's a big theological problem, whether we know all the terminology of theology. So I'd say those two things, the anger of Jesus and on a bigger level, aligning the attributes of Jesus Christ with the attributes of God the Father.
We're running out of time in this segment, and I do want to give you the opportunity to give the contact information as to where the people can get the book in a moment again. But what message do you have for pastors across the country and even in other nations where they may be listening to us today about the necessity of this book and more specifically about preaching about the fury of God?
Well, I think to pastors specifically, I would say don't dodge this in your preaching. When you come to it, you will come to it. If you're not preaching on God's anger, his fury, his wrath, you're not preaching exegetically and you're not being true to the whole counsel of God, which you guys talk about a lot on this. I would also say to them that avoiding it is probably the worst thing you can do for growth in your church. I think that if you get people to understand all that God has, that Christ has saved them from, that reality will lead them to desire to live lives, to appreciate what that blood on the cross, and then lead them to live a certain way rather than just, you know, looking at the cross and going, oh, well, I'm saved now. I can do whatever I want. When they really understand what the blood of the value of that, the blood of Christ on the cross, they're going to do all those things out of a love for that.
And how can they get the book once again?
You can get it at Amazon.com. You can go to furyofgod.com, Westbow Press, anywhere you would normally get a book, go and ask for it.
And it's written by Jeremy J. Lundmark, L-U-N-D-M-A-R-K. I encourage every pastor particularly to get it. Every Christian get it, and even if you don't claim to be a Christian, get it. It may lead you to be a Christian. And so it's very significant for you to read. When we come back, we're going to talk about a sad situation, and that is the growth of homosexuality in religion. That's right, the growth of homosexuality in religion. So stay tuned. This is Stand in the Gap from the American Pastors Network.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
We've all heard the child song, Dare to be a Daniel, Dare to stand alone. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, have you ever stood alone? Are you willing to stand alone? As a young boy, Daniel stood alone. As a politician, he stood alone. As a preacher, he stood alone. Standing alone is not easy, but standing in the power of God's might for the sake of truth, for the sake of obedience to God's word, is required of all those who believe. You see, Daniel made it clear he worshiped God, that his faith was in God, and that his life revolved around God. His friends knew it, the king knew it, his enemies knew it. So when the command to not pray to God was given, Daniel did as he always did. He prayed, and then he stood alone with the lions. Unafraid, always trusting, Daniel stood alone. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, are you willing to stand alone for God today?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And we would encourage you to go to our website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, for two reasons. Number one, when you go there, you can correspond with us. And if you write to us, we will write back to you. And then, of course, at that particular website, if you happen to be out of the area from which you listen to your radio station and you have a computer, there's a link there to our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area. And so you can take us with you, and listen to us wherever you might be. And that's a great thing. Well, we want to shift gears a little bit, and the nature of this next subject, Jeremy, can be because of the fact that people don't understand the fury of God that we talked about in your book in the last segment. But it's interesting what some recent studies, or what a particular recent study has brought out concerning homosexuality and religion. According to the Pew Research Center's Religious Landscape Study, it says that members of nearly every Christian group, denomination, have become more accepting of homosexuality over the past 7 years. For instance, with Catholics, in 2007, 58% of them said that homosexuality should be accepted. Now it's 70%. Mainline Protestants in 2007 said 56% said homosexuality should be accepted. Now it's 66%. Among Black Protestants in 2007, 39% of them said homosexuality should be accepted. Now it's 51%. And overall, Christians in general in 2007 said 44% said homosexuality should be accepted. Now it's up to 54%. What is going on in the American church today, Jeremy?
Well, I can tell you what I've seen personally in teaching high school Bible. And I did that for about a year, and a little over a year. And one of the things I noticed was that a lot of the students, the young people, had a very difficult time accepting the scriptures on this because they had brothers, sisters, cousins, friends, whomever. And it becomes a very difficult thing to navigate when the scriptures are not your supreme authority, especially for a young person. And at least at that level, I definitely saw the generation, mine and the one coming behind me, saying, we need to be more accepting of these people. And it speaks to what we were talking about in the last segment, in that we perceive God as all loving. And this word accepting is something I was talking to a pastor friend of mine yesterday about. Should the church be accepting or should it be welcoming? And I think there's a difference between those
two. Explain the difference.
I think accepting is you can become a member, you can preach in our church, you can teach in our church. That would be accepting. Welcoming is saying –
and it's accepting.
Yes, A-C-C-E-P-T-I-N-G. Welcoming is you can come in. You're not going to get persecuted. The church wants unbelievers to come and to hear the message of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
What homosexuality has been unique in is they've asked the church to capitulate and say, our sin isn't sin anymore. That's accepting it, saying, oh, it's no big deal. That's going where the scriptures doesn't allow us to go. We can still be gracious, loving, merciful, kind, preaching the gospel while telling these folks your sin is sin. And it's the same thing we say to the thief or the murderer or whatever. And I know the response we get from that is, are you comparing those two? Are you making murder and homosexuality the same? I'm not. The Bible is.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about that is that's how you get to the gospel.
Amen.
You can't get to the gospel any other way. And I've said this time and again from the pulpit. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, if you want to receive Christ into your life, you have to admit your sin. You have to repent from your sin and turn to it. The homosexual community is asking us to just give them a pass, and we can't do that scripturally any more than we can with any of these other sins the Bible's clear about.
And more today, you hear that there are Christians who say, homosexuals who say that they are very good Christians. We had a situation in central Pennsylvania, the fellow who was a state legislator, a graduate from Liberty University, who came out of the closet. I mean, I knew him. I worked with him over the years, but he came out. He was a deacon of a church,
wow,
a song leader in that church. He came out and he said he's a Almost said he said he's a lesbian.
That would be different.
That's even possible now, though. He came out and said he was a homosexual, and he said he's a great Christian. He walks close to the Lord. What do you think?
Well, I think let's be fair to the homosexuals. We haven't been faithful to marriage either. Heterosexuals haven't been faithful. And we've seen this recent scandal with Ashley Madison website where people were trying to cheat on their wives. A number of ministry leaders outed for that. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Tullian Chavigian situation, but he's already back in a ministry capacity in going through an adulterous relationship, getting a divorce. Very public thing. It's not a secret that I'm bringing out here. But our lack of faithfulness to marriage has brought us down this path. And so I think that's how we've gotten this far. And that slope just never stops. And the other side says, oh, it's going to stop here. We're still seeing – I was just reading an article yesterday that there's a dad who wants to marry his child. And it's just like it's nonsense. It's just nonsense.
Now, you know, you were telling me about one lesbian bishop who's calling for the removal of crosses.
Yeah. This is in Sweden, as I understand it. This came out about a month ago. October 5th was the article on Breitbart.com. Mm-hmm. And in order to be more welcoming to Muslims, they wanted to take the crosses down and give instructions to Mecca on their way, I suppose. And I was just intrigued by that because I see a very distinct parallel between the homosexual agenda and Sharia law and the way in which, at least in our country, those two things are being pushed. Mm-hmm. They're sort of – we talked about it yesterday on the show. They're sort of like, well, we don't want to do anything violent right now. We just want to be accepted. Mm-hmm. The next step is we want to suppress, whether it's Islam or it's homosexuality. They want to suppress Christianity. They want to suppress those who disagree with them. It moves from tolerance to tyranny pretty mm-hmm. quickly.
Mm-hmm. Real quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly. And, well, you know, when you get away from the Word of God – when you get away from absolute truth,
yes,
then you know you can say that anything is truth.
Right.
You can do anything that you want, yeah. And that's where we are going in America today because yes. We put the Bible out on the back porch.
Absolutely, yeah. There's no question.
And many times that's the case not only in the pew, but in the pulpit.
In the pulpit, absolutely. Yeah.
And here at the American Pastors Network, you know, we strive to challenge people and pastors to submit to the authority of the Word of God. Jeremy Lundmark, thank you for – you did a pretty good job filling in for Dave and Sam both today.
I'll have to let them decide if I filled a shoe or two.
They could be listening.
I hope so.
On their assignment.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes they do.
Dave better not have a shoe off on his assignment.
No, he better – he better not. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a great weekend. The Lord willing, we will be back with you again on Monday. Until then – from the American Pastors Network, this is Stand in the Gap today. We encourage you to stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up because no matter what, we've read the very last chapter of the Bible. The best is yet to come. Have a great weekend. Go to church on Sunday. The Lord willing, we will be with you again Monday. God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.